There are a lot of predictions floating around about the outcome of the upcoming midterm elections, and a lot of them are based on demographics. You're listening to KNKX, and to learn more about that prediction process, our host Ed Ronco talked with demographer Ben Anderstone. He says the population of eligible voters in Washington state is even wider than its overall population. That could indicate a conservative bent, but Anderstone says education and income change that expectation.
We're unique in that the Pacific Northwest and Washington state in particular has a lot of higher income, progressive white voters, many of them college educated voters. And as the kind of coalitions have shifted nationally, with white college educated voters moving toward the Democrats and non-college educated voters moving toward the Republicans, Washington state's educational divide has become much more prominent in our local politics.
Let's talk about some specific districts. The 9th congressional district. We're talking parts of Bellevue, Kent, Federal Way, good part of Tacoma. It has a large number of immigrants and people of color. It is the state's first majority-minority district. Adam Smith, the Democratic incumbent, faces a challenge from Sarah Smith, a Democratic socialist. They're both white, though. What are you seeing happening in the 9th right now?
This is a fascinating district because although it's a majority-minority, its electorate is a good bit wider. And on top of that, it's a very divided district ethnically, too. I mean, the non-white population includes African-Americans, Asians, Hispanics. It's a very eclectic district. Sarah Smith is coming at this from a very progressive angle. She's a Bernie-crat who thinks that kind of the establishment Democratic Party is a poor representation for these districts that are increasingly more multiracial. On the other hand, you're right. She's a, you know, a white candidate in a majority non-white district with a heavily white electorate. And I think this is kind of reflects some philosophical challenges that the Democratic Party is facing.
It feels like there's some chicken and egg happening in politics sometimes, where there are demographics who don't vote, so they're not paid attention to by campaigns. But if the campaigns paid attention to them, maybe they would vote and change things in the favor of whatever candidate or issue wants to appeal to them.
Exactly. That's a huge challenge in campaigns, is you always have to decide whether you're going to talk to the voters that you are pretty darn sure are going to show up, or whether you should try to go after voters who take a lot more hand-holding to get them to turn out.
Why wouldn't you tap the untapped resource?
A big part of it is outside of presidential elections, it's oftentimes difficult for campaigns to get together the resources that are necessary to mobilize people. The money, the volunteer power. Studies show that it can take up to 6 to 7 contacts to get somebody who's a, you know, non-presidential voter to actually show up at the polls or to send back their ballot. Many of them really want to do it, but unfortunately, the math on it is just tricky sometimes.
Let's talk about the 3rd congressional district. Jamie Herrera-Butler has a serious challenge from Carolyn Long. Herrera-Butler is one of 2 Hispanic Republican women who can vote in Congress. What do you see happening in the 3rd right now?
Sure. Now, this is a district that's based primarily down in Clark County around Vancouver and includes Kelso Longview and parts of the Washington coast. Mm-hmm. And it's a very working class district, has a substantial population of non-college educated white voters. This is an area where Donald Trump did better than most Republicans have historically. And there's also a decent population of educated commuter suburb residents around Camas and areas like that. Mm-hmm. And that's a population that the Republican Party is doing very badly with. So that kind of residual Democratic Party support that exists in that district, that old Union Democrat support, is converging with the higher Democratic enthusiasm to make this a competitive race.
She's distanced herself from the president. Is that blunting some of the opposition that she might face?
You know, the research does show that incumbents who are seen as mavericks or moderates do a little bit better than incumbents who are seen as kind of party line votes. Now, incumbents who see themselves as mavericks tend to be in more marginal seats because in part they're often responding to their electorate. So Herrera-Butler's district might be just red enough for her to skate by, but the national winds are going to be dragging at her too.
We're talking about people pushing back against the establishment. I don't think we can have that conversation without talking about the 8th congressional district. Dino Rossi is the Republican running, and he's known to many voters for his past runs for office. He's facing a Democrat, Kim Schreier, a newcomer. Do you see the pushback on the establishment?
This is a district that voted for Hillary Clinton. This is a district that voted for Barack Obama both times. Dino Rossi, for his many runs, has become extremely well-known in this district. And in fact, polls are showing that he has a higher rate of name recognition than a lot of Republican incumbents. However, the Republicans are underwater in most districts that voted for Clinton last time, where they're Republican incumbents. So if Rossi pulls this off, it's going to be against a pretty strong tide running the opposite direction.
Let's talk about in-state migration. You know, people are leaving areas with a high cost of living. They're moving into cheaper areas in many cases.
Right.
And there's some political differences between those areas in many cases as well. So how's that population shift affecting the makeup of, say, state legislative districts or how elections might go here within the borders of Washington state?
Right. That's an interesting pattern that we've noticed in the last few years is that the population growth has shifted a little bit out into the suburban communities, Snohomish County, Pierce County. These neighborhoods are oftentimes populated by people who make decent money but don't necessarily have a college degree. And demographically, that's a group that's actually been drifting Republican over the years. So some of these voters are moving from blue to red, but there's also just major population growth in these areas too. So they're casting more votes, and that's impacting elections here.
The state's population is increasing. Many of the people who move here for jobs in the tech industry are highly educated. Mm-hmm. They're paid a big salary. How are those data points reflected in their voting patterns?
Well, the most difficult part of it is that they're not voting much so far. Mm-hmm. A lot of younger transplants, especially kind of what you think is the archetypical new Seattle resident, are not necessarily comfortable with voting in local elections because overwhelmingly they're from other states, they're renters. To the extent that they vote, this is a very progressive demographic. And that is going to cause a gradual shift as these voters start participating, start registering to vote here in Washington. But it's not going to be a cataclysmic shift. Like with many demographic changes, sometimes the political impact has some delay from, you know, the demographic change itself.
You have all of this information: race, income, education level, age level, profession. Do the demographics ever betray you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, politics is all about resource allocation. It's all about triage. And until that changes, we're still going to continue to kind of view people first as their demographics.
Should it be about resource allocation and triage? Or do we have something to gain by taking a slightly more nuanced look at the human side of the equation?
The most effective thing is always actual people having actual organic conversations with actual voters. And a lot of the demographic work we do behind the scenes is to figure out which voters to talk to. But at the end of the day, people are savvy. And if you're having an insincere conversation with them, they're not going to be persuaded.
Ben Anderstone, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ed.
Ben Anderstone is a demographer with Progressive Strategies Northwest and a contributor to Crosscut.